Brian Noonan in for Roe Conanana Devlantes. Roe and Anna will be back, of course, on January 3rd. But on Sunday night, you will be partying not like it's 1999, but like it's going to be 2018, which it will be. And you'll be thinking, oh, man, I need something festive to drink. Perhaps I will go for some sort of bubbly, but I don't know what kind because, you know, I've been hanging out with Judy Pilak. We've been drinking cold ducks since we were, you know, 14. So I don't know. Thankfully, Belinda Chang is here. She knows everything about everything that has to do with adult grape beverages. She is a James Beard award-winning sommelier, and you've seen her on TV. You've seen her everywhere. First of all, welcome. Thank you for coming in. This is very exciting.
I'm so excited, too.
I can't tell you. We'll post some pictures, and you should go on the online now and watch it at WGNRadio.com, because Belinda has a setup in here that is worthy of an Emmy Award-winning TV production.
Thanks. I'm a champagne life expert,
yes,
so it is we gotta show up.
So for those who have seen you on TV but don't know the full story, what's your story? How did you become this champagne and wine just goddess?
Thanks for asking. So I'm a Chicago local. Okay. I'm a graduate of the Illinois Math and Science Academy. So
Wow. This
is where you can take math into a really fun career.
I was going to say, I want to see how math ties in, because I'm still like, oh, I got to add something.
Oh, this is all science. I mean, this is like the magic, how
yes.
we create the bubbles in champagne and all the other sparkling wines. You know, there's fermentation chemistry.
Wow.
I don't know if you can see my necklace, but it's all about molecules. My dad was a PhD chemist.
Cool.
So he's really happy when we can get the equations, you know.
All right, sure.
All the fermentation
into it. We'll throw a couple out there to get your dad excited.
Thank you. Yeah, so this is the season. I mean, this is a season when everybody's super excited about drinking sparkling wines and champagne. So this is my moment. This is my moment in the 365.
And you've been, but your career has been award winning, as I said, James Beard award winning.
Yeah, I've been so lucky.
Yeah, you've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, when did you first say to yourself, you know what? I went to Math and Science Academy. I want to pursue a career as a sommelier.
It's a little crazy. So, you know, all I remember about wine when I was growing up in Palatine, Illinois, yeah. was, you know, bottles of Blue Nun and
yes,
Lancers.
Sure.
Lancers, that
the
pink
Lancers,
bubbly stuff.
Oh, yeah, the ceramic bottle. Nice.
Right. And then I escaped home and I went to school in Houston. And I fell in love with the sous chef, you know, the restaurant business.
Okay.
So sexy. And fell in love with wine there. And I realized,
nice.
You know, sure, you can make beautiful food and make people really happy, but you make people even happier when
yes.
the wine comes to the table, when the champagne comes to the table.
Right.
So, you know, my first big restaurant job was here in Chicago at Charlie Trotter's
yes.
over on Armitage Avenue. So I spent 5 years there,
wow.
and I was the wine director there, overseeing okay. a ginormous wine cellar with everything good to drink from all over the world.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, and then I left and came back to Chicago 4 times.
Wow.
After that, we were just talking about how
yeah.
we've both spent some time in California, which I really love. I worked in San Francisco with Laurent Grod, a restaurant called The Fifth Floor, where we had an enormous wine cellar, which is kind of a theme, which
okay.
is going to keep going. And then I came back to Chicago because I missed it so much.
Is that what it is? The city just lures you back? Your family is here? You're from here?
I mean, we live in the best. It's cold, sure. But
yes.
I feel like we were saying, you know, it's like feeling alive, right? You know,
well, you were saying that. I said it almost killed me.
Oh, I just love it. So, yeah, so I just keep coming back. I mean, I have family here and such great friends here and a nice big apartment. It's bigger than my New York apartment.
Oh, I can. Pretty much anything would be bigger than a New York apartment, right?
The best.
So the city has evolved with restaurants and things. It's also evolved in our, you know, we're not just a Joe Sixpack town anymore. We've evolved in wine and sparkling wines and champagnes
beer.
Too.
It's fantastic.
Everything, yes.
Yeah, I was on a trip to Champagne just a couple weeks ago, earlier in the month, and I was in Paris at a wine and beer shop, and
oh, cool.
on the shelves of the beer shop were Goose Island beers.
Nice.
I mean, can you believe it? Like the
Very
Parisians,
nice.
Those snotty little French,
yeah.
they're not just drinking champagne, but they're drinking beers that are made here. So I was super excited to see that, but it's been fun. I mean, I've been in restaurant business for more than 20 years
wow. That's amazing.
In Chicago. And so it's been fun to see everyone's tastes evolve and to see everyone kind of, you know, get serious, but not serious about it. So.
And this time of year, we focus on champagnes and sparkling wines, but
yep.
people are drinking sparkling wines now all year, right?
Well, they should be.
They should be,
if
sure.
you're not,
they're refreshing and fun.
We have a little bit to talk about. So I was looking up some statistics. You know, champagne is one of the most regulated wines that's made in the world. They
mm-hmm.
have a whole committee, the CIVC, that oversees everything from the grapes that you grow and how you grow them and the date that you can start harvesting.
Yeah.
And they had some pretty interesting statistics about American and worldwide champagne drinking. So
okay.
if you had to guess how much champagne the average American drinks in a year, What would you guess?
Not much. If it's the strictly, you know, what we think is champagne and what's real champagne, if it's the real champagne, I'd say a bottle.
It's a good guess. 2 ounces. So we're the biggest buyers of champagne in the world.
Okay.
So go Team America.
Yeah,
yay,
that's great.
USA,
make America
USA.
Great, sure.
But we drink 2 ounces per person. So what that's telling me, and that's anybody.
Are we stockpiling
total,
it?
I think that I'm drinking it all. I don't
well,
know.
Well, really, yeah. I was going to say, somebody's picking up the slack.
But
could
we always
you?
Sort of like to bring up, so the number six buyers of champagne in the world are the Belgians, and they drink
really?
A bottle per year.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the Belgians. And they're looking pretty
happy.
Yeah,
what's going on with the Belgians?
So, I'm not sure, but they love this stuff.
All right.
Which I think is really great. So I'm going to go Belgian style and drink at least a bottle a year.
So yeah, I'm for that. I like that plan. I'm still fixated on how America is buying the most. And is it because people are restaurants or wine, you know, wine players, they're buying all it, but we're not on an individual consumer level buying it?
I think the majority of Americans, probably as you said, we know that when it's New Year's Eve, we have a glass.
Right.
And celebrate and we toast.
Or at a wedding.
Yeah, but I think the fun thing about champagne and what not a lot of people know is it's made from these grapes that we're really familiar with. So champagne is made from Chardonnay, which
okay.
a lot of us have had a glass of,
sure.
or maybe even have a glass every day, and Pinot Noir. So these are two grapes that are super great at the table, right? So if you're having your roast chicken at home, you know, a glass of Chardonnay is super. If you're having a little salmon for dinner or you're doing a little fancy kind of thing, a glass of Pinot Noir is really amazing. So anywhere in life where you might have some Chardonnay or Pinot Noir, a glass of champagne is a great thing to have, right? So this can be any day.
Well, now I feel like a slacker.
I know, you got to get to work.
Well, we're going to get to work in a few minutes. So when most of us, most Americans or most people want to drink, they say champagne. We're mostly drinking sparkling wines.
So
right?
I get really upset. So, you know, you go to your favorite restaurant and you're all excited and I don't know, you're on a date or you close the big deal, you got the new job, you got a new house and you want to toast with a really special something and you ask your server or bartender for a glass of champagne and then you see them open something different, right?
Right.
So I'm like, oh, dude, let's look at that bottle.
They don't know who they're messing with when you order something.
I know, I feel a little bad, but then we have to go through
you
the
should
list.
Have to wear a sommelier hat or something.
Right, like a little pin.
Yeah, to identify yourself to the public.
But you know, when someone opens a Prosecco, which I love, but it's not what I ordered, it's not what I want to celebrate with, or, you know, a glass of cava. You know, there are amazing sparkling wines made all over the world, and at all price points right now, we're living in a lucky moment when we can have all these good things to drink from everywhere, but it's not the same. You know, when you want a glass of champagne, it's what you want. You want the real deal, the real McCoy.
That's it. We'll try some of that. We'll talk more about it. Belinda Chang is here. You can follow her on Twitter, Belinda_Chicago. And so we're going to talk about sparkling wine, champagnes. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. We'll talk about all of that and more. But first, the satisfaction when there's sparkling wine and champagne sitting in front of them. James Beard Award-winning sommelier. I like using the title, if I may. Belinda Chang is here.
Yay!
We're trying to tweet some of these pictures out. The setup is amazing. And now we have two bottles in front of us, which is very appetizing. I can't believe it. What did you bring?
So I thought it'd be fun to do a little comparison.
Yes.
We're not going to do a blind tasting, which is that fun little cocktail
good.
Party trip that everybody loves to do. But I brought one Prosecco because, you know, I don't want a dog on it. It's a great style of wine from Italy, made from the Glera grape. And I also brought Tattanger, one of my favorite champagnes in the whole world. And the majority of what's sold in the world is non-vintage.
I'm glad you pronounced it because I, of course, pronounce it like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Tattanger.
Well, Chicago-style Tattanger is absolutely fine. I always feel a little guilty, you know, when I'm in France and I'm like, you got some Tattanger?
Hey, man, I need a Tattanger.
And everything sounds so cute in French.
Sure.
You know,
Tattanger. I'm going to, you know.
And that's an easy one. And it's
Tattanger.
It's owned by the family, so we got to get the name right. one of the few.
One thing that people, you know, they worry about a little bit is, they'll go into, say, their local Binnie's, and there's hundreds of sparkling wines at all the, ooh, that sounded
there's
nice.
There's one.
That, I like that. And no saber.
No saber.
Belinda, a lot of times we'll go on and saber open these fancy bottles.
Oh,
but,
it's so dangerous.
Yes,
I mean, you can cut a hand off. It's like the Christmas Story, that great movie.
Right, you shoot,
like,
your eye out.
Shoot your eye out.
I don't want anything getting shot.
You know what, I love a good saber show, just like the next girl, but cut-proof gloves and safety glasses.
See, and I'm always afraid the top of the bottle is going to get whacked off, and there's going to be glass in your drink. I don't, ooh.
Well, here's a little tip on that.
Sounds
besides
pretty.
Safety gear, you know, you have to do champagne. So a lot of people try to do this little saber trick, and
yes.
they use a kitchen knife. Don't do it with a bottle of Prosecco or a bottle of Cava. It's got to be champagne because the number of bubbles in a bottle of champagne and the pressure inside sort of ensures that you're not going to end up drinking glass.
So the cork will just...
The cork just comes right off. I actually did it at a friend's house, and we found the cork in his koi pond, you know, on the first floor, and we had sabered off of the second floor, and we found it a year later after the snow melted.
Look at how fancy you are. Places with koi ponds and two floors.
Yeah, well, you know.
So very nice.
I'm going to pour you a little glass of Prosecco, and we'll keep chatting.
That is nice. So price point-wise, can you get a nice bottle of either sparkling? Can you get a nice sparkling wine for not a ton of dough?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, the little trick when you go to the wine store, even I love to shop for wine at Mariano's, you know, my grocery store.
Mariano's has a nice selection.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, I go to this store like 3 times a week just because it's so much fun. So I love grocery shopping. I'm a little bit of an addict. So, you know, they usually go by price, right? So you usually find, you know, the daily drink and stuff, the low price stuff on the bottom shelf. And then the Bentley, you know, the champagne is usually on the top and everything in between. So the nice thing is these days there's great wine at all price points. So you just got to know what you like. So I look for Prosecco, which is going to be a dry style. I look for Cava from Spain.
That's all right. That's I was going to say that's where I've had Cava because we were in Madrid last year. It is very good.
Delicious. You know, the thing that I like to stay away from, you know, I don't like a sweet style of bubbly. Some people love that, but you know, the Moscato d'Asti, that kind of thing, Brachetto. A lot of these are going to be styles of sparkling wine that are quite sweet, which I don't really love, except for at dessert, not for you know, the beginning of the party.
So you go with the drier now. So we have the Prosecco, which is over here.
So we've got the Prosecco, which is made from, again, a grape which used to be called Prosecco, but they changed it to a little fancier name. Now it's called Glera.
Okay.
And it comes from the northeast of Italy, and this is a wine that's just like, you know, cheerful, right? So this is $14.99. This is pretty upscale, actually, Prosecco, which I think is quite delicious from a producer called Nino Franco.
Yes.
So family owned and operated. I love when you can shake the hand of the people, you know, who make the wine.
That's got to be exciting in your line of work to travel to these vineyards and to these places and see, you know, I just see the bottles like everybody else.
I ain't complaining.
That's a good, man, I got to meet your high school counselor because that is, my counselor's like, well, really, you know, you talk pretty good,
I think. I was supposed to be a scientist or something, went awry, you know.
This is fine. This is, wow. Oh, look at the glass with your name on there. Wow.
Yeah, you got to have like your little custom.
No, that's beautiful.
Glass. So these are glasses from a really beautiful place called Leman. So
very
it comes
nice.
From the Champagne region of France, and it's from one of the main towns called Reims. You know, you have to say it kind of nasal, and I say it a lot better after I've had a little bit of wine. I sound a little more French, but Reims is maybe how some other people would say it, but it's a beautiful, idyllic town with cobblestone streets and all kinds of great places to drink champagne, and a lot of the major champagne houses are in that town as well. So these are the glasses that people love to drink champagne out of. They look kind of like a flute, right?
Now, is there a difference? Because a lot of times you will see either the glasses that you made the champagne fountain out of, the flatter type of champagne glass, or the tall flutes. Is there, I know with wine, there's a difference. Even now they're saying with beer, there's different glass where you should use. If you have the option, is one better than another?
Yeah.
And when it comes right down to it, as long as I'm not drinking out of a solo cup, I'm going to enjoy it, right?
But you know what? These wines are going to be delicious in a solo cup too.
See,
so you got to do what you are talking
everybody's language, Belinda. That's what. See, you're making it accessible to guys like me. Who go, I got a sleeve of solo cups at home.
Yeah.
Let's have a party.
I don't want to tell you can't drink this and you can only drink beer because you don't have the right glassware. You can drink this out of anything, and I love it. But you know, the flute is the traditional one, the tall, skinny glass that you usually see when this is served to you somewhere out in the world. But I also brought the coupes, right? So those are kind of
the flatter ones?
Yeah, they're the ones that look like the cocktail glass you get at the fancy craft cocktail bar. And you know, there's fun story that goes along with the coupe. They like to say that the shape was modeled after Marie Antoinette's breast.
Is that right? I'll pull mine into there.
Yeah, so there's some nice imagery there.
Can you hang around for a couple more minutes after the news? Because we have to talk some more. If you have a question, Belinda Chang is here. She is a James Beard award-winning sommelier. She is an expert when it comes to sparkling wine and champagne. And it seems like life. I'm going to give you that. You seem like you got life pretty much handled, too. So very nice. So we'll talk to more with Belinda on the other side of the news. Judy, when you're done with the news, you're welcome to come down and partake. I don't want you drinking and reporting, because then you just turn into Chrissy Teigen on a plane.
Oh, but drinking and driving's okay?
Well, listen, once you leave here, you're not my responsibility. You're a grown woman. You've made that abundantly clear many times. Anna DeVellantes, we are having some fun because Belinda Chang is here. You've seen Belinda on TV. You follow her on Twitter at Belinda_Chicago. She is a James Beard award-winning sommelier, and she is an expert on all things bubbly, whether it's Diet Coke. Today, we're talking about sparkling wines and champagnes for your holiday gathering. And what I liked earlier, we glossed over pretty quick, but this wonderful Prosecco that we're having, $14.99. So you don't have to spend a fortune to drink good quality product.
No, definitely not. It just matters sort of how much complexity you want in the wine, in the sparkling wine. So this Prosecco, we love it. It's simple.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It takes a couple weeks to make. You know, they harvest some grapes, they make it into wine, and then they get it bubbly. That's where that chemistry comes in, and my Illinois math and science situation comes in. So fermentation happens just like in beer or vodka or whatever you like to drink. But, you know, when we're talking about champagne, and the reason why champagne is never inexpensive, it just can't be.
Yeah.
One is because the real estate, you know, you're up in northeast France and you've got these vineyards. By law, the only vineyards you can use to grow the grapes that are going to go into champagne, and they're expensive. You know, it's like living up in the Gold Coast or the Upper East Side in New York, wherever you are. So the other part of it is that while a bottle of Prosecco just takes a couple weeks to make, a bottle of champagne takes, you know, this bottle of Tattanger that we're enjoying very much here in the studio.
It is wonderful.
It takes 4 to 5 years to make.
For one bottle?
One bottle, it takes 4 to 5 years, because not only do you have to harvest grapes and then make wine and then blend those different wines and then do a second fermentation to get bubbles, but then you have to leave these bottles in these beautiful underground caves, which you can tour when you go to Champagne, to age, because these lush flavors that we're getting.
Ooh, that's a wonderful adjective.
We have a newcomer that I need to pour a glass
for. I'm actually right
off
the street. Yeah, I saw the bottle.
Sam dropped down. Yeah, he Woo-hoo! Doesn't even work here. I don't know who this guy is.
Well, I'm going to pour a little.
We just met. Take it easy.
Here.
Whoa.
That's it. This is how Belinda rolls, Sam. She doesn't
all the way to the top.
You walk in, you're
drinking. I'm all about sharing.
Isn't that the best? That's how you. That's how you get people to experience new things.
I'm telling you.
Share.
When someone tells me they only drink beer, I'm like, drink this.
Okay, I'm fine with it.
That's how it goes.
So back to the champagne.
Yeah.
When. Obviously, now that you've laid out the process that goes into a bottle of champagne, you can see why it's a little more. For somebody who doesn't want to, what's a good entry-level real champagne?
So there are tons of options. So the one we're drinking, as we said, is Tattanger. So you would find this at Mariano's or Benny's for $39.99.
Okay. You're not going to break the bank for something special.
If it's a special occasion, I think this is really great. And, you know, they make a great rosé. They make a vintage-style champagne where all the grapes are harvested in 1 year. So if you see a year on a bottle of champagne, 2006, 2007, that means that all the grapes came from 1 year.
Does that make it better?
Yeah. I mean, then it's an expression of one year, one of, you know, nature's years. And then there's also usually a prestige cuvée made by every champagne. We call them houses, or in French they call them the maison,
maison.
Sure. So they usually have a prestige cuvée. It's kind of like the haute couture dress. You know, we're on Michigan Avenue, so we're looking at all the designer boutiques, but, you know, the couture dress, which takes a woman, you know, little doing the sequins 10,000 hours to make it. But their prestige cuvée from Tattanger is called Comte de Champagne. So you'd find that in the store for $200 to $300.
Wow.
So that's when you're really like, it's the girl you really like.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy you really like.
I have a dumb question.
A little crazy. Yeah.
A friend told me to ask this, by the way.
Sure.
You just
said one that you lent your car to?
2006, 2007, all the grapes are from that year. Is there a year that's too old? In other words, can champagne be too old? Is that a thing?
Oh, can I tell you a story?
Yes.
Please. That's why you're
here. The oldest bottle I've ever opened of champagne was from 1847.
What?
So it was a bottle that came from a shipwreck. A bunch of divers went down to get these bottles out of the ocean, the Baltic Sea in this case, and they pulled up these bottles and we opened them and they were amazing.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's pretty cool climate up in Champagne. So you're in northeastern France, and so you get grapes that have a what we call like a natural high acidity, which is what you need, because these grapes have to go through two fermentations, not one like a regular bottle of wine. So they're pretty sturdy, and these wines can age for decades. And in some cases for centuries. So too old? No.
There you go. I didn't know that.
They get better and better, like a fine wine, like a great woman.
There you go. Age to perfection. Belinda Chang is here. If you have any thoughts about sparkling wine or champagne, this is the woman. All right. Somebody texted this in.
This is a good question.
Is Heidsieck Monopole a good champagne? And I don't know if that's how you pronounce the name.
So there's Charles Heidsieck and Piper Heidsieck, and these are old houses. You know, when you talk to a winemaker in Napa Valley, for instance, they say like, oh, we're a really old winery. You know, my grandfather planted the grapes. And you talk to someone in Champagne and they say my grandfather's grandfather planted the grapes. You know, we're talking about people that have been making wines in some cases since the 1600s, which is pretty cool.
Wow, that is cool.
But these are great houses, Piper Heidsieck and Charles Heidsieck. And, you know, you sort of judge these champagne maison by what we call the chef de cave.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the chef in the restaurant.
Is there going to be a test on all this later?
Yes.
Only if you want to be a master sommelier.
Okay. I have a 15-liter here at stake for the trivia, champagne trivia master.
Wow.
Plan to open that one on
I'm
New Year's
notes.
Eve, so it should be a lot of fun. Take your notes. Absolutely. So, you know, the chef de cave is like the head designer.
Yes.
You know, there's a head designer for Louis Vuitton or, you know, for any designer sort of endeavor. So they have great chef de cave for both of those houses. So I would say drink it. Thumbs up.
Yeah. All right. So never
do it.
Let's see. Kelly has a question. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very curious as to your opinion on Aldi, the store, and how they have expanded their
I love
wines.
Your question. I love
and
your
they
question.
They have a lot of sparkling Moscatos and Proseccos. And
yes.
I'm just curious as to your take on that.
So my parents live in Palatine, and there is an Aldi not far away. And I go there every time I go to see my parents because I'm looking for the unicorn champagne.
The Aldi champagne?
The Aldi champagne is impossible to find. I had to go all the way to Champagne to try it, and it was delicious.
Really?
And I think it's really inexpensive for champagne relative. It's under $30. So if you find it, I'm going to give my cell phone number. I'm not going to on the radio.
Well,
but
I know how to get
9-1.
I will trade you.
Wow. All right. So there's the tip. Get to Aldi and see if you can find their champagne.
Kelly, they're great wines at Aldi. They have really high quality. They're working with really great producers. So I would say buy.
All right, Kelly, there you go.
I'm a huge fan of it. Thank you.
All right. Now,
welcome.
See, and I got to be honest, I love that you said that because I think people would say, well, she's asking Belinda about all the wine. This is going to turn ugly fast.
Uh-oh.
But if something's good, it doesn't
good
matter where you get
wine.
It, right?
It doesn't matter. I've had the Trader Joe's champagne. Yeah. I mean, you know what? There's great wine made all over the world. The nice thing is there's great technology these days. And so you're not going to get a bad bottle. It's whether you like it or not.
Exactly.
And, you know, what the budget is at the moment. Like, what's your bank account telling you?
Well, if I could, now that you've given it your stamp of approval, I'm going to be at Aldi trying to find one.
If you can find it, please call me.
Yeah, if I get a couple, you know, we'll work something
out. Let's do it.
John has a quick question. Hi, John.
Love it. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Great
conversation. quick story, pretty funny. I buy cases of champagne every year.
Ooh, I love that. I'm coming to your house.
How about it?
Come on over. So, like, every Christmas, New Year's Eve, it's 20 to 24 bottles of champagne for every event.
Nice.
But the funny part is I was in Las Vegas. I do client events, and we were buying Dom Perignon at the table.
Oh.
Second bottle of Dom Perignon comes along, and the guy is working his heart out to do a good job, and he opens it up. He drops it.
Oh, no, wait.
It spends all over all of us.
Oh, my God. Champagne shower, we call that.
It was a champagne shower, and it was their last bottle, too. So
my God.
And he was terrified. He thought he was going to get fired. I was like, no, absolutely no way. Nothing's going to happen to you. We're fine. You're good. Good. And thank you, by the way. That really smells good on our clothes. So,
enjoy. Perfect. Well, John, enjoy all that champagne.
But wait, here comes the best part of it. We're in Chicago a couple weeks later for another show, and we're telling the story to a gentleman at one of our best steakhouses in Chicago, and he's listening to it, and he's laughing and having a good time with it. He opens up the bottle, and the bottle blows up in his hand.
Oh my God!
Soaks his tooth.
Oh my gosh!
And so champagne's a fun drink to have,
but it's dangerous.
But it can be dangerous and crazy at times. But I agree with you. Prosecco's a good drink to have at certain times. It's great with mimosas.
Yes.
So it's Corbel. Anything with if you're going to do a mimosa, do a lower priced champagne.
Yes.
Or sparkling wines are great, but I think you've got great taste. So
thank you.
Listening to you, so thank you.
Well, John, cheers. Thank you for the call. Enjoy your champagne.
Happy holidays.
Happy New Year.
Happy holidays. All right.
Take care. All right, let's take a quick break. Belinda Chang is here. If you have a question, you can get it in quick. We got to talk a little bit more about the sparkling wines, the champagnes. Carl is holding on. He's got a question about a couple different sparkling wines.
Yay.
We're going to do all of that. You can always follow Belinda on Twitter. It's at Belinda_Chicago. It's me again. Look at that. It's my turn. All right. Belinda Chang is here. We are talking sparkling wines. We're talking champagne. We're talking about your beverages for your New Year's Eve celebration or, as Belinda said, just a random Thursday. There's nothing wrong with coming home for dinner on Thursday and having a little bottle of champagne or sparkling wine with whatever you're making.
That's right. You should do it.
Whip yourself up something.
What's holding you back?
I don't know. I think champagne and a frozen pizza is perfect.
There's same nothing as a beer.
Exactly. Alcohol is alcohol. All right. If you had a question, 312-981-7200. Carl's been hanging on. He has a question for Belinda. Hi, Carl.
Yay, Carl.
D&D, Brian and Belinda, correct?
Hi.
That's it.
Hello. Belinda, can I get your opinion on a couple things I've been holding on to for a while? They're in the fridge right now.
Ooh, I love this game. Sure.
I've got a Piper Heitzig Demi-Sec Cuvée Sublime.
Okay.
And then a G.H. Mum. These are both from, you pronounce it Reims? Reims France?
Well, Reims is fine, or I like to say Raz.
Oh. You know?
Okay. And then this is a Cordon Rouge Brut.
So those are both non-vintage styles. So those do a little bit of aging. And here's the thing that they tell me when I'm in Champagne, the Chef de Caves, the guys that make the stuff, is they release it when it's ready to drink. So the nice thing, you know, sometimes you buy a bottle of Cabernet and you're like, oh, damn, why did I open that? I should have given it more time. But the Champenois, they do us a big favor. They age everything.
Perfect.
And then they put it on the shelves and then it's ready to go. So you can drink things right away when you get them. Or you can certainly hold on to them for a little bit of time. Have you had those bottles in the fridge for a little bit? Or
Probably at least a few years.
Open now.
Right now. Like right now while you're talking to us, Carl.
Yeah. So, Carl, so that demi-sec is going to be a slightly sweet style, right? So that'll be great with dessert. Or if you have people that love Moscato d'Asti, it'll be delicious.
What exactly is the mum's? I think an old girlfriend has it right now. I doubt I'll ever get it back from her. Carte Classique?
Yeah, that's going to be delicious. So that's the classic champagne grape. So that's Chardonnay and Pinot Noir and maybe a little bit of Pinot Meunier. So maybe you should bring the glasses to her house.
Yeah, maybe you can woo her back.
Convince her to open them.
Belinda?
What's that?
Shall I open up all of these with my saber?
Well, cut-proof gloves and safety glasses are what I recommend there.
Gotcha. I don't know. Dish towel works for me, Carl, but whatever you need to do to celebrate the holiday. Thanks for the call, Carl.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you guys. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, so Carl, you asked Carl, have these been in the refrigerator for a long time?
Yeah.
So what's now? These we're enjoying both the Prosecco and the Champagne.
Yeah.
They're very cold.
They're very cold.
Is there a temperature? Should as soon as I put them in the fridge, can I leave them in for a while? What's the deal?
Yeah. So I'll tell you the thing that no one will ever tell you. So if you got these bottles, you brought them home from the grocery store, they've been sitting out in your apartment. Your apartment's a little warm.
Yeah.
You can put them in the freezer.
Oh, really?
You know, just for like 15-20 minutes until the glass is cold to the touch.
Okay.
And then you're going to be good to go. I mean, I live in a little studio apartment down the street from the studio, and it's got a half refrigerator. So I can't, like, for my party, have everything cold and ready to go and chill it overnight. So, you know, and I don't want to buy ice. That's a big pain in the butt. So I definitely just take a couple bottles and put them in the freezer for a little bit. I'm going to get a little bit of trouble from the professionals, but it's a good way to get them chilled down.
Yeah, listen, you're a professional. So
yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, you've got medals on and you've won awards. I'd say you're a professional. You, once your name is on a glass,
yeah, then I'm okay. okay?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, that's how I have a beer glass with my name engraved in it. I figure I'm an expert. I can say
so
whatever.
You're a pro.
So, yes, you're all set.
So they definitely say to drink these champagnes kind of in the 40-degree Fahrenheit range.
Yeah.
So you definitely want them to have them a little chilled. And that's because, you know, you want the bubbles to be really active in the glass and be really beautiful. And you don't want to drink it warm. Warm wine is not fun. It's like warm beer. All you get is kind of volatile alcohol. So here's my math and science stuff. And you don't want like volatilized alcohol coming into your nose. You want it to be a really pleasant drinking experience.
Well, I tell you, and this is a ham-handed segue, but speaking of pleasant experiences, it has been a joy to have you.
It's been my pleasure.
You are as bubbly as the wines that you've brought with. You are true. It's been very much a lot of fun having you. Would you agree, Sam?
I agree.
Listen,
Aww.
And it's not just the wine talking because I haven't had that much. But what we've learned here is you should drink sparkling wine or champagne whenever you want.
All the time.
Don't wait for special occasions. Two, they're not going to break the bank because you can even for a legit champagne, you can still get one for about 30, 40 bucks to start off. And three, go to Aldi because if you find their champagne and you get a case, I know a woman, a James Beard Award winning sommelier, who has some dough that she's willing to drop on a couple bottles of Aldi champagne.
You forgot
number four.
Wine is too old.
And no wine is too old.
No champagne, no wine.
Look how much you've taught us in an hour.
Oh, yay.
And it took me 8 years of college to learn four things. So this was perfect. You can follow Belinda Chang on Twitter. It's Belinda_Chicago. She knows everything about wine and sparkling wines and champagnes. And have a very happy new year. This has been a lot of fun. I hope we talk again very, very soon.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Happy
All right.
New year, everyone.
Let's do this. Another one is in the books. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thank you for being part of the program.